You're listening to DraftKings Network.
I realize this weekend I'm old because I've reached the age where I just drop everything. And it's like a milestone in my life that I wasn't hoping for. Like, my dad will help him do stuff and he'll like drop a screwdriver, just drops all kinds of stuff. I have to pick it up for him. And then I was just dropping my phone like four times, dropping tools off my squatty potty while I was working on the fan, just keep dropping things everywhere I go.
You were working on a fan while you were going to the bathroom?
Well, no, it's a great question. No, but I was using the squatty potty as a step stool for the fan because, you know, it's one of those things that was around. I didn't want to go get another stool. I only had to get, you know, 8-9 inches off the ground to finish what I was doing. So squatty potty, multi-purpose.
So dropping things is a trait of old people?
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Is dropping things a trait of old people? Yes or no? Stat of the day. I got a good one here. I got what I think Stugatz will like is a good one. Hit me with the short version of stat of the day if you want. The long version of stat of the day, worldofsui.com is where you can get it whenever it is you want it.
Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day. It is the start of the day.
Tony Snell has not missed a foul shot since March 12th of 2019. That's more than 2 years, according to CBS Sports. I saw another good stat, too. Chris Paul would have had a 50-40-90 season, 50% from the field, 40% from three, and 90% from the free throw line.
Right.
If not for a couple of half-court heaves that he had where he just sort of threw the ball up at the end of the half. Like, he would have had the best season statistically of his life, as Stugatz calls him a loser. And the Suns are... The Suns are really good this year.
Yeah, the Suns are staring LeBron James straight in the face round one. Good luck with that,
well,
okay?
Can you guys explain to me where the Clippers... We'll get Amin on here in a second because I got a bunch of basketball questions because yesterday was a really fun sports day and there was all sorts of things. Did you see Kwame Brown? I don't know whether it was Instagram Live or what, but Kwame Brown was doing like a Q&A and he was getting mad at people because they were saying, hey, you remember that game where you and Kobe scored 82? And he was getting upset. And he wasn't taking it with a sense of humor.
It is.
Well, it's funny unless you're him, right? And so he seemed to be getting mad. And what he was saying is, well, you guys wanted to see Kobe score. You saw him score all over the place. And were you not entertained? And there were other guys out there with him. And he actually said angrily. Now, if he said this funny as Kwame Brown, it would have been different. But angrily, did you not see the screens I was setting? Kwame Brown thinks that he and Kobe scored 82.
Because, like, he helped with screens?
Because of how good, like, that people should remember. Put that on the poll as well, Guillermo, at Levitard Show. Should we remember as favorably all the screens Kwame Brown set in the Kobe Bryant 81-point game as we do the 81 points?
I mean, the Stugatz is strong in Kwame Brown. We do not get to witness the 82-point game if not for Kwame Brown.
That's a direct quote, and I want to use it in other places. Did you not see the screens I was setting? - Kwame Brown. Like, that sounds like philosopher stuff. But were the Clippers and Nuggets purposely trying to lose yesterday?
If I'm the Nuggets, I would have tried to lose that game because you forced the Lakers to have to play in a play-in game against Steph Curry. But I mean, you forced them to.
They lost to Oklahoma City, Stugatz, and Oklahoma City's been losing every game by 40 points. Like, no team in basketball has lost by the margins the second half of the season that OKC has. And the Clippers dumped that game, right? You had the Nuggets and the Clippers purposely avoiding LeBron and wanting to just stay away from all things LeBron as... Steph Curry, Stugatz, that is a player without precedent. That might be obvious, but we've just never seen it before. Nobody who's ever played basketball has played it that way. I'm watching Dylan Brooks yesterday, Stugatz. That is a good defender. And he wants to do that nonsense of taking you up and down all court. Like, he's on you all the way. So he's running with Steph Curry. And Steph Curry does that to that dude? Because that dude guards everybody.
Yeah. Steph is, he's unbelievable. And I can't wait to watch this game, to have Steph Curry versus LeBron James in a play-in game. Kind of a game for the life. To answer your question about the Clippers, though,
game
right?
Game for your what?
Game for your life, for your season, essentially, I feel like,
okay.
Right?
Okay, well, one of them is going to lose, and I think everyone fears, correct me if I'm wrong, there's not another team that people are expecting. Oh, they're going to do something. Look, they're an 8 seed, and everyone's still like, oh, they're an 8 seed, Stugatz.
Yep.
And the Nuggets and Clippers are... When do you ever hear athletes say they're afraid of somebody? You always hear Jimmy Butler. The quotes are always, we don't fear anybody. Of course. Nobody's going to say they fear anybody. But the Clippers and the Nuggets dumped games yesterday to avoid LeBron James.
Paul George was supposed to play. He didn't play. Kawhi Leonard did not play. They played a guy off their bench, Jay Scrub. He got 36 minutes. That's his real
his
name.
His actual name
Jay
is Scrub?
Jay Scrub played 36 minutes last night. Yeah.
When do you see fear articulated quite like that? Because there's only one team that's going to be feared that way. Are you kidding me? Kawhi, Jokic, these guys. Are you kidding me? You're going to dump a game because you don't want to see 36-year-old LeBron James? I mean, coming off an ankle injury and telling you.
Yeah, but coming off winning an NBA title, Dan. Like, when he's on the court, he's the best player in the game. Still, I can't believe I'm saying it, but at this age, he is still the best player in the game. I would want to avoid him for as long as possible as well.
Yesterday was so fun, and I do want to talk to Amin about it because we're going to enjoy this. We've got hockey playoffs and basketball playoffs, and the South Florida teams matter because the Heat's going to get... We haven't even talked about Udonis Haslem.
Oh. Greatest 2 minutes in the history of basketball. 2 minutes, 2 buckets, 2 technicals, 1 ejection.
They've been paying him for 3 seasons. Billy, do you take back the bad thing? So many people in this town, as he continues to do the press conference with actual gray hair, the Miami Heat are going to the playoffs with Goran Dragic having a tuft of gray hair and with Udonis Haslem, 41 years old, paid by the Heat for that moment. For 3 seasons, as people complain, why don't we develop a young guy? You're never playing him. He hasn't played all season. It's not, Mike, it's not just that it's a great stat line. That's his season. He needs to not play again, and that needs to be his stat line for this season, and the Heat have paid him for 3 seasons because he's just around, still being an enforcer, and he hasn't played in 3 years.
For 36 minutes, I think he's averaging 48 points per game. It's his career best season this year, Dan.
Billy, did you like that, or is everyone now obligated to come to the side of Udonis Haslem just because 3 seasons of criticism he erased in 3 minutes of not really basketball, just sort of being Udonis Haslem?
Who's not on Udonis Haslem's side, Dan? Not me. You crazy? I'm not going to say a bad thing about Udonis Haslem. I'm actually looking in my calendar because I set up, I think like 2 years ago, a Udonis Haslem day that I celebrate Udonis Haslem every year. And I'll admit, it was in response to Dwayne Wade getting a day when I was like, this guy, enough of him already. We need to celebrate Udonis Haslem. So I think we passed the 2-year anniversary of Udonis Haslem Day, which I can get back to you momentarily if you'd like and tell you what day that is. But we don't need to. We can just keep moving on if you'd like.
Is the country not laughing at us, though? They don't understand this.
No. Dan, did you watch social media erupt when UD did his thing? And you said it wasn't really basketball. That was a pretty long baseline J that he hit for his second bucket out there. It was his time in the sun. Everybody loved it. And I'm not so sure it was just so much Udonis as everyone hates Dwight because Dwight thought that they were cool. And Udonis Haslem's got a memory like an elephant. He got payback on the finals.
He was still mad from the finals? What was that? Was Bam? Was that something he did to Bam?
Yeah, and something that he did to Jimmy, too. Look, the Lakers ended up winning a title. Morris was a real enforcer, but Dwight Howard was one of their tough guys. But now he is the chief tough guy for Philadelphia. I don't think that's going to work out.
All right, let's address this for a second because Mike, we didn't have a show after the Sixers game because let's talk about the playoffs, Stugatz, because I would have preferred, God, I wanted Heat Knicks so bad. You might actually get out of the first round, Stugatz, because the Atlanta Hawks are less formidable than the Miami Heat.
The Atlanta Hawks are 27-10 since they fired the coach you said they couldn't fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're a really good team.
They're
man.
Not healthy, though. They're not. The Miami Heat just got healthy at exactly the right time. Does Atlanta?
Man, the Miami Heat are not really healthy. They're just going through, like, held together with duct tape. Gorin's missing games still. Jimmy, you're playing the Bucks because Jimmy couldn't go against Milwaukee because he's got his back hurt. So, yeah, they're healthier than they were at the start of the year. They're the sixth seed because
without Jimmy, Jimmy missed the last two games, and they would have liked to have had that game at Milwaukee because my guess is they would have preferred. Well, what do you think there? My guess is they would have preferred Heat-Knicks after a season, Stugatz. I didn't know this. I don't know if you guys know this. I just found this out the other day. The way the season has worked, they don't practice. Like, it's just rehab and get back out there, get on another plane. Like, the things that they've done to the bodies where LeBron breaks down for the first time, the four teams that went deep in the playoffs are all some semblance of broken.
Right.
Denver's not right. They've been, you know, carving up through the business of the pandemic. They got to a schedule that took out bodies.
Yeah, Atlanta, even though Atlanta's played Miami better than New York has because Miami's swept the Knicks. I was actually rooting for the Hawks there because they're not as physical as Milwaukee. And even the New York Knicks, it's going to be a war of attrition. Like, banging bodies up against the Milwaukee Bucks and then having to potentially bang bodies against the Sixers and Nets just to make it to where you were last year, it's going to be a really difficult road.
Back to the Hawks for just a second, Dan. They are healthy. Like, Trae Young is healthy. Capella's healthy. Collins healthy. Bogdanovich is playing at a different level. Like, it's crazy what Bogdanovich has done the last 15 games of the season.
Okay, my bad. I was judging on the Hawks fell apart for 15 games. Like, toward the end of the season, the Hawks were better all season after firing their coach, correct?
27-10 since they fired their coach. Yeah.
But then recently, they had a rash of injuries.
They survived them, though. Trae Young went out, and they were still getting big-time results.
Right. No, they had a little lull there where they were like 3-3 through six games.
Yeah.
But Trae Young is healthy again. They won their last four games headed into the postseason.
What I was going to argue, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong on this, because I wanted the Miami Heat against the New York Knicks for the history that some of you don't care about because, as we learned last week, some of you don't remember Allen Houston and Jeff Van Gundy on the ankle of a Lonzo Mourning, and you just think of 10, 20 years of irrelevant Knicks basketball.
22 years ago yesterday, the Allen Houston shot. 22 years ago yesterday.
23 years ago this weekend, the season finale of Seinfeld, Stugatz. How old does that one you feel? 23, the finale, not the start of it, the finale. That's how long ago it's been since the Knicks and the Heat were relevant against each other at the same time, and it's all the fault of the Knicks.
Yes. I mean, who else's fault would it be?
And now Julius Randle, though. Have you seen how Thibodeau is playing Julius Randle after they clinch? Have you seen this? An average of almost 46 minutes a game after they clinch.
That's my guy. That's why he's the coach of the year. I mean, Dan, there's no resting when Thibs is your head coach. It is playoff time, man. He is making a push. Are you kidding me?
That is absurd. He is.
What's absurd about it?
Put it on the poll.
It's absurd that you've made him the coach of the year when Monty.
He can't argue with the results, though, can you?
How could he not be coach of the year? Seriously.
Monty Williams.
I know, but they had expectations once they got Chris Paul. I mean, there were zero expectations for this Knicks team. Mm-hmm. Zero. With Julius Randle's your best player.
Monty Williams is going to win it because of everything Monty Williams has also gone through and the fact that the Suns are really great. But looking at Monty Williams' story, who dare vote for Tom Thibodeau over Monty Williams right now?
Just emotionally?
Well, Thibs went through some stuff.
No,
he's spent a lot of time in Minnesota.
It's not this stuff.
No, you bring in Monty Williams to make your team make a leap, and they made a leap within that bubble, and they made the move for Chris Paul, and it was a little curious. They signed Jay Crowder. Those are win-now moves, and they banked on their head coach. Monty Williams, great coach.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Does Thibodeau do to knees what Dusty Baker does to elbows? Or, if you prefer, which one's better? Which is worse on your body, Dusty Baker to your elbow or Tom Thibodeau to your knees? Because it's simply morally wrong after that season and clinching that you play Julius Randle, who has exceeded every expectation, an average of almost 46 minutes a game after you've clinched.
Right.
It's been hard to follow sports during the pandemic, and I was hearing Billy talk a little bit, and he kind of sounded like he was feeling his age a little bit. I feel really old trying to follow sports this year, and it's not just because I forgot I was 35. I thought I was 34 for a half a year. That was a shocking revelation to me. I don't understand how the play-in games work. I'm going to put myself out
there. Oh, no.
I think I understand.
I need a mean to explain it to me because there's like a game one winner versus a game four loser. And it's, wait a second, that's an even number. How do we find out who's better if we have an even number of games? I need someone to help me.
Okay, so he'll be here in moments to explain some of it. But that's at the top of your list after a day when 17 of the 20 teams that you didn't know where they were going to be seated. Like that yesterday was batshit crazy.
Things are happening quickly, man.
So that's where you want to start with Amin on all the basketball analysis, because what I wanted to ask you legitimately as a Heat fan is whether you preferred the Knicks or the Bucks because of, now the Bucks are clearly better, but the Bucks are still scary. Like
the Bucks are better than they were last year, and we've got plenty of time to hype that up. I just can't be alone on this island. Please tell me you guys don't understand the play-in games either.
You'd prefer the Knicks. You would absolutely prefer. Who wants to face Giannis?
No, because they beat him in five games last year. Like they can stop Giannis. It's not like they've shown. Hell, the Bucks were better last year empirically during the regular season. The Bucks had a historically great season, and they lost in five games. I know it's a ridiculous. It sounds like a ridiculous.
Fogey's doing sports radio. Someone explain to me this goddamn play-in tournament.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Mike, are you familiar with the term geriatric millennial? Because I think what you're describing is you're a geriatric millennial.
What?
That happened this weekend.
I'm learning this too. Now I'm a geriatric millennial. It's two things that I don't identify as, a millennial or a geriatric.
Define it. Why was that trending this weekend? Speak to one of the actual geriatrics instead of a millennial geriatric. Why was the term trending this weekend?
Well, Dan, I think you're just a regular millennial, but a geriatric millennial is someone who's born between 1980 and 1985, which I believe is Mike Ryan's general age group. And this was trending because Medium published an article and tweeted out a link with the caption, "Geriatric millennials born between 1980 and 1985 are best positioned to lead teams that will thrive in the hybrid workplace." So it was an article about geriatric millennials. And I think the term kind of sticks, right? You are kind of a geriatric millennial, Mike.
I hate this term. Let's just get this thing clear. I'm right at the edge of this geriatric millennial window. An 85 baby.
Mike, you were bragging last week about having your fists on your hips and saying, "Wow, what a lush lawn I have. I'm here to secure the perimeter and watch it grow."
Also, I think I have arthritis in my wrist. You're killing me. I can't lift my baby anymore.
It's going to get worse.
It took a dark turn. We were talking about basketball, and all of a sudden it was just a deep, deep sink into mortality.
I redid my garage, which was honestly the height of the year for me. Redoing one's garage and clearing it out. Oh, who knew that these old fogies were holding out on me? Having a lush lawn and a clean garage is really the height of my adult life. But I was trying to put boxes up there, and I was doing it with my elbows because my wrists have atrophied to the point of that of my grandfather's. I am in such pain right now.
Billy, are you a geriatric millennial? Because you were talking about, I mean, you've been old for a long time. You started
since the day I was born.
Yep.
So do you identify with this term as a dropper of things?
No. I mean, yes, I drop things. I'm just old. I mean, I don't. Millennial, boomer's a thing I hear. That's what the kids say for old people, geriatric, you know, whatever the old thing is, that's me, I guess. By the way, March 27th, UD Day. Just to close the loop on that.
Thank you. The loop needed to be closed.
Well, what are we doing with that? I have not felt like we celebrated that enough around here. I didn't get I thought that there were people who were anti-Udonis Haslem publicly before that moment because he gave the speeches afterward about the one thing I'm loyal to is this city and the one thing I know in the world is that this city loves me back. And I don't think that the nation you guys are telling me the nation understands Miami's love affair with this dude as a guy, if you don't know his backstory, that he very much believe in family. This is a man when his mother died, Pat Riley and the whole crew went to Overtown where he buried her. And Udonis Haslem at the end of what seemed like his career here in Miami as a rare homegrown talent, undrafted former fat kid, comes up through our high school system and is just a local sports hero made good representing this city, even though he believes in the University of Florida for some reason.
It was a business decision.
Yeah, it was.
He says that. That's a direct quote from Udonis Haslem.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on. I'm popping open my Centrum right now.
Silver?
Yeah, Centrum Silver.
So, attaboy.
I can't. Can you get this out, though? My wrists don't work.
Sure, bring it in.
The last words, Stukats, that Udonis Haslem said to his mother before she passed away, the last words after the Heat family went to her funeral, is that he was staying with the Miami Heat and right. He was taking a discount to stay here and wasn't going to some place where there was a better offer, and it moved her, and it was the last part of their connection here. His story is well told throughout South Florida, but I don't believe that the nation understands why South Florida would get so excited about Udonis. It's cool that we paid you for the last 3 years just because of those 3 minutes.
Why are you surprised by the nation now knowing? Because I think the Heat have been at the forefront of the NBA and big time stories. You had the big three down here. And so everyone's story became magnified once LeBron James, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade got together.
What are you laughing about?
I think everyone knows the UD story.
What are you laughing about, Billy?
This Jess in the chat.
What I mean, happened? She's helping me out because she makes a good point. It's called the play-in tournament, and Sugat has me believing that the Warriors and the Lakers are playing a game for their lives,
it's
yet they
everything.
Can lose and
they
get
are.
In.
Yeah, it's for everything.
No, but they can lose and get
legacies
in still.
Legacies are on the line.
No, they're not. So confused, and who's joining the Avengers, and why are they doing this to sports?
Is Amin coming on to explain it to us? I think the whole segment with Amin, and because basketball was wonderful yesterday. It really was. It was a lot of...
Pale in comparison to the Stanley Cup playoffs.
If I gave you a choice, seriously, Dan, five games decided by one goal. I mean, think about
it's
that.
It's incredible.
It's the greatest
and
thing
you know
in
what?
Sports.
They're not immune either. So good. Because they've got no idea what to do with Canada. Canada takes coronavirus super seriously. Like, if you have a party, you're not allowed to let anybody in your house. If you have a party and someone catches COVID at your house, you'd be charged for manslaughter. It's that serious over there. I have league sources, Dan. And push is coming to shove when it comes to these Canadian teams. They got to decide what they're going to do. Are you going to allow for waivers for some American teams to come into your country? If not, you either forfeit, we tell you what you're going to do. And that deadline's coming around the corner. But Sugats was super confused, as I was. Because you know what the last game of the night was last night in the NHL? Do you know what the last game of the night was? After Lightning and Panthers captivate the hearts of a nation. Really, captivate the hearts of a continent. An electrifying game. The Vancouver Canucks played a hockey game against the Calgary Flames.
That's right.
None of those teams are in the playoffs.
No, they are not.
I fully thought it was a playoff series.
I had no idea that there was another game after that one.
And it was a 6-5 overtime game. The game of the day.
That's right. The Oilers are in the playoffs. The Oilers were playing the Canucks the day the playoffs started, but the Oilers were not playing a playoff game. They were playing a regular season game when the playoffs were started. And now the playoffs are 2 days old, and the last game of the night, last night, was a regular season game that was totally meaningless.
Why, though?
I don't know. Yeah. I'm a geriatric millennial that's taking Centrum.
Strange times, man.
COVID. Those postponed games. They were making it up.
Okay, but is it because all of this is being brought to you for the first time by State Farm? Is that why?
State Farm is not sponsored.
That's a Scotiabank North.
No, I thought I just heard. I thought, oh no, that's the play-in game. It's the play-in game.
The play-in game.
The reason there are
but
play-in
it's not a play-in will be decided.
Game. Right.
Jessica, what's going on with this play-in game?
Play-in game should just be called like the NBA seeding tournament or something. Play-in game implies an elimination, and I don't think anyone's getting eliminated here. It's just bad, bad branding.
False. There is a team getting eliminated. 7-8. Winner gets in. Loser plays the winner of 9-10.
Right.
Loser of 9-10. Hit the road, Jack. You're out of there.
Exactly.
I think.
Yep.
Okay. I think that we're going to do this with all the amazing things that happened in basketball yesterday. This is what we're just going to have Amin over and over explain to us how all this works, and then we're going to forget it.
LeBron Curry does feel like a game for everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it does.
But it's not.
But it is.
No, it's not for anything.
Yeah, LeBron already started doing the thing where he called Steph the Hall of Fame. He called him the MVP. He said he's the MVP this year just so LeBron could come out and put 45 on him and show everyone that he's the MVP. I mean, Dan, it's for everything. It's got everything, and it's for everything.
No, there you go. Yeah. No, that's a good slogan. It's got everything, but it's not actually for anything.
It's for nothing.
The loser ends up playing in the next day against somebody else. And by the way, the Clippers and Nuggets are terrified of the Lakers emerging from whatever that is that none of us understand.
Now, I think the loser of the 8-9 has to beat the winner of the 9-10 twice. I think that's something. That's a thing. I'm pretty certain.
It sounds right.
Confused. I don't know if that's a thing.
But
it's a thing. It's a thing.
I think Stugatz is just making this up, but I do believe it sounds right. If you lose, it should be double elimination among four teams.
But what if you split it?
Right, but why would the team that wins, they face Golden State who loses? Why wouldn't Golden State then have to beat that team twice?
What happens if you have four teams go 1-1? Amin, what is the... I don't understand.
It's just all brought to you by State Farm.
I know that part.
That's the only part that matters. Like a good neighbor.
Whether you hydrate to live or live to hydrate, Liquid IV quenches your thirst faster than water alone. With 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink plus 8 vitamins and nutrients for everyday wellness, all in a single sugar-free stick. Are you heading to the airport on a long flight? Or do you need something after your flag football game? Well, if I was you, I would definitely go with Liquid IV just for the electrolytes so you don't feel run down. And I know for me, Liquid IV helps me start my day in the morning, and it helps give me the energy to do stuff like cut my yard and wash my car and work out and just face the day. And you can get your energy back while drinking something that's delicious. And when I say delicious, you can pick from flavors like pear, white peach, green grape, lemon lime, and more. Liquid IV is non-GMO, free from gluten, dairy, and soy. However you hydrate, grab your Liquid IV Hydration Multiplier sugar-free in bulk nationwide at Costco, or get 20% off your first order when you go to liquidiv.com and use code DAN at checkout. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration using code DAN today at liquidiv.com.
Okay.
Mike, you okay? Arthritis. It's terrible.
Do you think I was... So there's a kind of like a rare injury that goalkeepers suffer, that it's just a constant pounding, that you get small hairline fractures on the outside of your wrist, and I think I'm dealing with that right now.
Mm-hmm. From what?
2 games of soccer a week. I play on a 7-on-7, and you're supposed to play with a weighted ball, but they don't. They just like blasting the Premier League ball. So, like, my Tuesday night game especially is just a fight for survival.
Wait, what's a weighted ball?
A weighted ball is what you're supposed to play with when you're playing on a smaller pitch, because it's insane playing with a regulation ball, because it's not fair. You're not supposed to take that ball at those speeds at close ranges.
Mike, I come from a place where we're playing barefoot, man. We're making balls out of socks and stuff like that. What's this weighted ball stuff? It's a ball's a ball. Go out there and play like a man.
No, I understand. I understand. Well, I don't think I can make it through the mean streets of Africa and the dirt pitches and all that and be barefoot. And plus, I don't like being barefoot. I find it icky. So that's just a great indicator that I'm going to
last out
there.
But I mean, saying it feels fake. It's like fake soccer. You're not really playing soccer.
No, they have weighted balls. It's really for the player's protection.
I've never heard of
these. A weighted ball, actually.
Focker.
Either way, my wrists, like, I can't hold them straight. They just fall towards the inside.
I mean, what was the best stuff from yesterday, the most interesting stuff from yesterday? And inform us here. We don't even understand how this play-in tournament works. So just tell us, give me the imaging. Did we get that from ESPN? I think I asked you that question while we were doing this before.
Please stop asking me questions.
I think we got this from ESPN. We got it exclusively. It was a big wrestling match. It cost a lot of money to go back and forth, and then we got it. So here it is, and it's all because of this moment.
Time to talk basketball. Amin knows basketball. He'll teach you basketball. Expert in basketball.
That was fun yesterday. I mean, and I can't. When's the last time the Clippers and Nuggets, teams that good, were like tanking games on purpose because they fear an 8 seed?
Well, I mean, like, when's the last time we had the prohibitive favorite to win the championship? The Lakers are going to have to fight to make the playoffs. and they're actually the favorites to win it all.
The Nets, you can have your doubts and everything, but in terms of a team with this many great players, you've never looked at one like this and been like, I really don't know. I don't know. It seems like they're amazing offensively, but you kind of got to play defense.
Yeah, and I think, you know, whatever defensive proficiency they've had this season is kind of fake in the sense that, not fake, I shouldn't say fake, but it's not representative of who they are. And what I mean by that is because they've had these injuries throughout the year, you've been dealing with basically lineups that have better defensive players in there. Bruce Brown and Nick Claxton and all these guys are getting minutes because the big three weren't around. Well, now you're going to get all three of those guys together. The minutes played by these great defensive players or better defensive players is going to be shortened. It's just natural, unless they're going to do what they did the other night and play everyone 27 minutes, which I just don't see happening in the playoffs.
I mean, this is very disrespectful. I'm sorry to do this to you during this segment with the imaging that we wrestled away from ESPN. And for those of you who don't know, because we like to be transparent around here, Amin hasn't like been signed yet, and he's been like clinging to the side of the pirate ship for many months now, and did a really kind thing on behalf of all of us by just giving up his job at ESPN so he can be here now doing this garbage and this basketball analysis. But I have to stop the music for a second. I mean, we'll get back to you and we'll talk about your contract status in a second. But Kenny Mayne is available and he is free, you know, free from ESPN's shackles. And he's
asking him about stirrups.
Okay, you can ask him in a second. But Kenny, why are you calling? Just to give us an update with what you're doing with your freedom today?
No, you told me to give you a golf update. We're going to drive this bit into the ground. You know, just keep coming back, hitting that joke. I feel bad now. I look like a dick calling in and taking off a guest who was in the middle of talking about elite quarterbacks or something. And that's wrong. So that's not me. I didn't do it. You did. Dead air.
Yes, that is dead air. It's why you're an expert at what you do. You fill that dead air with cleverness.
By saying dead air.
Anytime there is dead air, it's why you're the expert that you are and why ESPN told you to take a 61% pay cut to get the hell out of here after 27 years.
I tried to get Riley Curry. I was on SportsCenter last night. Well, first we tried Steph Curry. Then the more I thought about it, Riley would be a way better interview. You remember when she utterly transformed the post-game press conference? Was that like 15? I remember, like, a decent amount of time ago, right? When Golden State was starting to become the house team, if you will, right? The ESPN jumped on that. And then she was crawling around at her father's feet. It was like the cutest thing ever, right? But she did not reach out. I don't know if she has me. I just joined Instagram.
Okay, this is wonderful. Yes, all right. So tell us, you've joined with your newfound freedom. You've joined Instagram. How's that going?
I have not posted anything. I'm loving the not posting. You know, that's kind of how I'm doing it right now. And I keep teasing. It's going to be awesome when I do. But I'm worried I'm going to put out, like, you know, I don't want to give you the example of what I might put out because the buttons are different than Twitter. I'm like the old guy that needs a teenager. My wife's into it. And she also likes crime podcasts, but that's really not any big bearing on this conversation. So I'm going golfing. Remember the last time we had the guy with the jeans and suspenders? Like, they were slow, and we played like one of our guys had to leave. Like, he couldn't even finish the round. You know, these guys are so slow. But we're going back out to TPC, the fancy course, you know, the one where they played the Hartford Open, the Travelers. And we're doing it up. We're doing it.
What does that mean?
Like, it's going down. It was another way to say that. Like, okay. It's about to get it on.
All right. So, and are you
so
going to?
This interview sucked compared to the others. I'm not getting. You guys just like how? I guess this will be it, right? We'll just.
No, I know. No. This is what you need to know. Look, Amin. Please stop doing that, Amin El Hassan.
Let's bring him up.
is very good at his job, and we have insulted him, and we will bring him in. Thank you, Kenny. Well, I'll do the show from here, and you do your show from over there.
You need to lay out for Kenny, I mean.
But Billy is loving this because he realizes Billy hears what he would sound like at 61 years old, just yammering. My wife, she loves the crime. She loves the crime podcasts or whatever. That's really not going anywhere.
That's not what this is about, though, Dan. We're not talking about that today.
Okay, we're not going to talk about that today. What are we going to talk about? Stirrups?
Oh, I don't know. It's up to Kenny what he wants to talk about. He said he didn't want to talk about his wife's like podcast.
I thought you wanted to ask him about stirrups.
Oh, I'd love to. Kenny, how do you feel about baseball players and the stirrup socks and the fact that they don't seem to wear them anymore?
Well, my favorite look has always been, pajama bottoms like Griffey Jr. It kind of went with the baggy shorts of basketball. Like, I didn't like the tight shorts of the late 70s, Irvin Johnson. That wasn't my thing. So I was like the looser fit, like what I wear, in fact, sweatshirts or t-shirts. I want them looser, not tighter. Stirrups, if a guy wants to go there, I'm fine with it. I think the individuality is missing sometimes in all respects. And so if one player wants to do that and the others want to go Griffey pajamas, everybody live your own dream.
All right, call us tomorrow and tell us what's going on at the golf course. Thank you for being on with us, Kenny. You're right that it's going less well, that the bit seems to be drowning.
Yeah.
And I got to be
honest. We'll ride with it, Kenny. We will.
I've got to be honest with you, though. I thought the low point was your buddy, the golfer with the kept cracking jokes the other day, but I was wrong. This is the low point right here.
In horse racing, they have the buyer speed figure. Like, you got a 99 or 108, you're looking good. We regressed. We're like a 40, 68, somewhere there. We'll come back. We'll train and come back.
All right. Call us from the first tee.
Yep. Please do.
Except you won't answer because you'll be done. But I'll do it anyway.
All right. Very good. So let's get back to the Amin music, please, so that I can thank you. So that I could get more analysis. That was very disrespectful, Amin. I'm sorry that we did that to you. We've been very disrespectful to you for 5 months, but perhaps we'll sign you. Perhaps you'll have a contract here someday, although probably not before Kenny Mayne, it doesn't sound like.
It's funny, Dan, because yesterday, in a move to gain leverage for myself, I went and did an ESPN show. I was on Hoop Streams yesterday with Cassidy Hubbether and Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, you were a free guest for ESPN? Were you a guest as Metalark Media, or were you just as Amin El-Hassan?
Oh, no, I was as Amin El-Hassan of SiriusXM NBA Radio and Cinephobe. They gave a Cinephobe shout-out, so I was very pleased. I got to talk about the podcast where Zach Harper and I review movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain whether they are accurately poorly rated or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, wherever you get podcasts. That's Cinephobe.
What are the interesting first-round things that we should be looking at?
Well, first and foremost, shout out to the play-in tournament for making this an absolute success. I was talking to Evan Wash, who's the guy, the brains behind the play-in tournament. And he said, I talked to him on Friday. And as of Friday, all 20 seeds that were in contention, they were all up for grabs. No one had locked in up until 2 days before the end of the season. We got a day yesterday where every single team played in the league. We had 15 games. It never happens. The league never does that. But we had it yesterday, and a lot of those games mattered. We had three Super Bowls, count them three, Charlotte versus Washington, Memphis versus Golden State, Denver versus Portland. These were games where a direct competition with these two teams would vastly change the landscape of the playoffs. So now that we've got that out of the way, it's crazy to think that the biggest matchup in all of this, in all these teams playing against each other, is Lakers-Warriors. That's the one, right? That's the one that we don't care about anything else. We want to see LeBron and Anthony Davis be great. We want to see Steph score 60 and hit 12 three-pointers, and we want that. And everything else is kind of an afterthought after that. I feel like we're going to start with the highest point, that game right there.
I've been trying to tell Dan that game is for everything. You seem to agree, right?
It is for Stugatz. Look, you're talking about, how people always say, wouldn't the NBA playoffs be a lot more fun if it was just single elimination? Yep. Wouldn't it be fun if it was like March Madness? And we all say, look, it's not about fun. It's about making sure the right team wins. We don't want Chaminade or UMBC to be the champion. We want the best team to be the champion. But in this one case, this is the time where we're going to get that feel, that elimination game feel, that all the marbles type feel. And imagine if Memphis had won yesterday. We get Lakers versus Grizzlies. Nobody wants to see that.
Right.
We don't want to see that. We want to see LeBron and Anthony Davis and Steph Curry. It has all the makings of a finals matchup when you just stop at those three names. Without kind of all the hassle of having to wait until four rounds of basketball been played.
I mean, we were talking beforehand about the idea that none of us have ever seen someone who does what Steph Curry does. And I was just sort of marveling at Dylan Brooks is like really good at defending people. He works really hard, and it doesn't matter with that dude. He had like a couple of cartoon plays this weekend where he's you saw the one where it's a floater in the lane, but everyone's terrified of him. They're guarding him, four guys, when he's 10 feet behind the three-point line. Like, how do you articulate what his excellence is in basketball terms? Never mind MVP. Just we're watching somebody doing things we've never seen before. Like, nobody's ever been able to do that.
So the best way I can put this is if you look at the list of all-time games where guys hit 10 or more three-pointers, we're saying, oh, three-pointers are up. Everyone's shooting a lot more threes. But the number of games where guys have hit 10 three-pointers or more are actually quite limited. At fourth, tied at fourth, are a bunch of players. J.R. Smith, I think James Harden, Damian Lillard. They're fourth on the list. They each have three games of 10-plus made threes or more, right? Third on the list is 1 week of Steph Curry this year. He had four games. Second on the list is Klay with five. And then first on the list is all the other games that Steph Curry did in his career, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of 20, right? So think about that. In 1 week, he did something that Damian Lillard, James Hart, some of the great names in shooting that we have right now, playing in this era right now with this emphasis on threes, they had done in their entire careers. This guy has taken a three-point shot. He is the greatest shooter of all time, not just because of accuracy, but because he does it moving. He's not just a standstill catch and shoot guy. He's dribbling. He's moving around with it. And that makes it so difficult to guard because, Dan, we have 70 years of experience so that when a guy is like 40 feet from the basket, I don't have to guard him, right? I can start to back up until he gets around 30, 27, 20. This guy at all parts of the floor is a threat. And when you have to guard someone like that, it shifts the way the defense is in a way that Ethan Strauss said this years ago, the only comp is Shaq. Shaq is the only comp in terms of we had to shift our entire defense to account for this guy on this part of the floor, and that makes life easier for everyone else.
I'm a little worried, Amin, that the players don't care about these games as much as we care about these games. So, Stugatz, I have an idea that I feel like you might enjoy.
Okay.
What if the players could add stakes to these games? So like almost like they're gambling or playing poker, they could put their rings on the line. Ooh. So like LeBron could theoretically take some of Steph's rings as the result of this game.
I love that idea. It's for everything. So yes, why not include rings? Yeah, I love that. Billy, that is a fantastic idea. I mean, you like that?
I do.
Yes.
Rings though, not rings. Like I need something more.
Winner gets the loser's dog.
No, that sounds like the loser. Wait. Why would I want added responsibility?
What if the winner doesn't
want the dog? No, no.
I think loser has to take care of the winner's children.
Oh, my God.
Like now that. You're talking.
I like that.
Now you're talking.
Get rid of them. Like, you got to take the extra kids. Winner's like, nope, no more kids. We're good.
That's, wow. Wait, forever?
Until they're 18. Although maybe the loser should also have to pay for the winner's college. Like the kids' college? Ooh. Is that too much?
But they're rich. That's not a big
deal. Yeah, that's not a big deal.
But if you take their house or their car or their helicopters.
I think, like, see, Billy, you're still going down that materialistic path, right? For people who have money, it's like, I'll buy another helicopter. It's not a big deal. Mm. It's got to be something sentimental. I like where you're at, where your head's at, Jess, talking about making them do chores. Maybe that's what they got to do. They got to clean the winner's house.
Loser has to do the dishes for a year or take out the trash.
Yard work.
So what do you guys have? So you have, let me just understand what you guys
have. They
have
a good idea, but what they have.
I'm not disputing that. Brought to you by State Farm. Yep. But what I'm saying, I just want to be clear on the way, like the greatest of the manifestations here involves, you guys have us now videoing Steph Curry coming over to LeBron's house and changing diapers. I don't know if he's got diaper-aged children.
How old is Bronny? I feel like he's 16. Well,
I don't know what LeBron's youngest is. That would be awkward and illegal. illegal what you're talking about, and weird that that he's wearing a diaper at 16.
And he's got to do it in a maid's outfit, right? Like he's got to like get there with the apron and the little bonnet type thing
the
they
French
wear there.
French maid, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Like the frilly.
Exactly.
Let me
with the lace.
Let me go through some serious basketball things. The Hall of Fame with you this weekend. I was stunned by Tim Duncan's hair. Everyone was moved by the strength of Vanessa Bryant. Your takeaways. A lot of people were arguing about Rudy Tomjanovich saying that Robert Horry belongs in the Hall of Fame.
Big Shot Bob.
I love you, Stu Gatz.
What happened?
Tim Duncan's hair, he's had that hair for a while, Dan. He was coaching last year. His hair was like that. So I don't know why that took you by surprise. But with regards to Tomjanovich, look, that's his guy. And I think, you know, Robert Horry, weren't you guys the show that asked Robert Horry, would you rather have 7 rings in your career? Would you rather be Charles Barkley? And he's like, I'd rather be Barkley. Like, why wouldn't I want to be elite at my sport as opposed to elite at certain moments? The reality is, even though he was an integral part of 7 championship teams and had a lot of moments and big shots and one of the most clutch guys, at the end of the day, his resume is just, it's not even close. And I know people look at the Basketball Hall of Fame as the place where if you have a pulse, you can get in. But there's got to be a minimum threshold somewhere of excellence, sustained excellence. Because at the end of the day, what we're saying about these guys is they didn't just show up in the biggest moments. They showed up all year long. They carried immense loads for their teams, and that's what made them so great.
LeBron has 3 kids. None of them are wearing diapers.
Okay, so then how is Steph's youngest? Let's do it the other way then. So they're only.
I think Steph's youngest is still wearing diapers, I think.
Okay,
I'll check
so
it
I
out.
Should have done it that way. Yes. But thank you, Stu Gatz. You created
welcome.
A wonderful visual there that is that is embarrassing for me. But LeBron is now old. He does not have children in diapers anymore. He's also a mogul who is now going into. He's going to represent coaches now, too, right? Clutch Sports is going to because he's going to conquer everything. And he's doing with his old age what nobody has ever done in that sport in terms of using power. He's conquering Hollywood, and he's going to be getting 10% of everyone's money in that league. I mean, because Clutch Sports is now getting into the coaching business as well, right?
Yeah. I'm trying to draw a blank with the name of the person they hired, but yes. Basically, this has been something that a lot of the bigger agencies have done, is that they traditionally they've all just represented players. And then it's kind of a niche thing where guys represent coaches / front office guys. The biggest name in this space, obviously, is Warren Legarry, the creator of the Vegas Summer League and the what was once the Adidas Eurocamp. So that's Warren's kind of the big fish in this pond. But a lot of the agencies over time, because they represent these players who end up retiring and like, well, what do you want to do now? Well, I want to coach, or I want to be a scout or a front office guy or whatever. So it kind of makes sense, rather than pass off their clients to someone else to start making money, why not bring that in house? So Clutch is the latest to follow this. And I can't remember the name of the person they hired, but it's someone who's respected in that space. And it makes sense, because if you look at the guys that Clutch started with 10, 15 years ago, pretty soon these guys are going to be ending up retired.
The Currys have a 3-year-old.
Okay, thank you, Stu Gatz. You bailed me out there. So, but I don't know how we do it if both guys, stars in the game, don't have diaper-age children in order to make the stakes the same.
What if instead of diapers, you have to drive around the loser's kids to like their, you know, little league games and school and everything? I feel like that's the worst part of parenting, right? Drive your kids everywhere? That sounds terrible.
It's difficult, but again, I think Bronny has a license. I mean,
yes.
Do you hate kids? Everything seems like kid related is just horrible to you, like changing diapers, spending time with them, going to their activities.
They also like tend to get adults sick sometimes too. Like apparently there are these little petri dishes of disease that just manifest in other people. Like, I don't know. I haven't heard a good thing about a kid lately.
I love this take that kids are evil.
A stunning turn this segment took, where all of a sudden that we all learned together, Jessica hates children. Everything involving children, and when we question her on her, and also their petri dishes for disease. So she just escalated everything there.
I think we just found the new Grid of Punishment for Jess, right? Whenever that comes. Is that coming back? Are we doing Grid of Punishment again, or is that done forever?
Grid of Death, that's a fine.
Oh,
big one.
Actually,
Pfizer.
Amin probably had it right. We didn't exactly want to do a Grid of Death, you know, while people were dying at a pandemic rate.
Grid of Punishment is much more PG, though, but we hated that thing. And Stugatz has like seven things
That's
still outstanding.
True.
Yeah, that was a plague, and you were terrible at it, and no one actually really wanted to do it. And it just felt like I was committing HR violations by asking people, hey, let's create content.
So we're doing it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I think ESPN Cable kept all the outstanding punishments, though. So
yeah, they
clean
they
slate for everybody.
Ah, so. Nice.
We couldn't wrestle that away from them in negotiations, the punishment.
They really wanted that for some reason.
Joke's on them, because I expensed all of, like, the seven costumes Billy owed.
Weird place for them to draw the line.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.